Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And a good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome in. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day so far. I'm in studio today. Good to see Nick Frazier in the flesh here in the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. What's up, Nick?
Hello, hello. Doing all right, Chase. You know, doing suit duties and also on the radio, if I can speak today. It's one of those days. Let's put it that way.
It's always one of those days, but you know what? That's okay. That's why we do this. I enjoy what I do, and always a busy morning for sure, but Titans training camp still ongoing, as we know. Caroline Willie and D-Mace will be out there today. As I needed to have some suit duty in this morning and be in the office, but none of you care about that, so that's okay. But I've enjoyed watching practice, and yesterday was the first day with pads. And so, you know, you start to get a better idea of things when they put the pads on. But, you know, we'll kind of get into today because I think today's even more important than yesterday was. But we start things off as we always do with the Pulse.
Bringing you Nashville's most trending topic.
You can make some noise.
It's the Pulse.
The band.
Now with Jason McCabe.
So I don't know about you, Nick. But for any sport, but I think especially baseball, and I take that back. Maybe I put hockey first, but I get hyped for the trade deadline because you always see some moves on deadline day, especially in like hockey, basketball, but also baseball that you just go, whoa, like, you know, either from anticipation and it's more than you anticipated or just you didn't see it coming at all. Today, of course, is the Major League Baseball trade deadline, 5 o'clock Central Time. And what is going to happen today? Will Shohei Ohtani get traded? They said no. And now here's Buster Olney from ESPN kind of weighing in on it and whether it could happen.
No. Last week, Artie Moreno ordered the front office, basically said, you are not trading Ohtani. Because from Artie's perspective, even though it feels like the Angels' odds for making the playoffs are really low, his feeling is that, look, my path to potentially re-signing Ohtani, there's only one road I can take, and that's to keep him through the rest of this year and then negotiate with him in free agency and try to outbid teams like the Dodgers, the Padres, et cetera. And so that's what he chose. And once he decided to do that, and Artie basically ordered his front office, look, you can't retreat. Then Perry Manassian, their general manager, his feeling was, if we can't retreat, then we need to add. So they go and trade Luke for Lucas Giolito, Reynoso, a reliever. They also added the other day C.J. Cron, Randall Grichuk, in the face of some really tough odds to make the playoffs. But in this era in which we talk so much about tanking in various sports, there's a part of me that admires what the Angels are doing because they're trying to win.
They are trying to win. I mean, they're three games out of the wild card in the American League. And then, let's see, with the division, they're 4.5 games out behind Texas. Now, I don't see them getting past Houston and Texas to win the division, but they could very well make the wild card. Because, I mean, the wild card race right now, Tampa, hard to believe that Tampa is not the division leader. Baltimore has taken over the AL East for the moment. But Tampa has that, then Houston, then Toronto. But Boston's fighting for a spot. I mean, the Yankees are 3.5 games back, a half game behind the Angels, but I really don't see the Yankees going on a run. I think they're going to miss it. I think Aaron Boone's going to get fired, and, you know, because they always got to blame somebody, and then who knows. But the Angels are interesting. And, look, if I'm the GM and I'm in the position that they're in, I hang on to Shohei right now. If you think you have a shot at all to re-sign him, and he must think he has a pretty good shot to re-sign him. We know that Shohei Ohtani wants to stay on the West Coast, so that helps.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sign guys like Randall Grichuk at the trade deadline and CJ Krohn, like both of those guys are heavy hitters in the lineup, and including that with Luis Rengifo, Hunter Renfro, I mean, obviously Mike Trout, but like, and Mike Moniak, I believe, you can add heavy bats like that to that lineup. Why would you not want to re-sign with the Angels?
Yeah, I know. I agree. A texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, we need your SummerSlam picks. By we, I mean probably just me. Nobody else cares. We'll do that Friday. We'll work in SummerSlam on Friday. We will make that happen. You'll hear a little bit of everything, so you'll hear some wrestling. We'll do that on Friday. Don't you worry. Moving on in the Pulse, a big one for the Women's World Cup and the U.S. Women's National Team. A draw with Portugal, not ideal, but it is going to be enough to get them into the round of 16. But I thought this was interesting that just 5 points in the group stage, the worst performance in the group stage ever, right? I mean, that's crazy to think about. And Carly Lloyd, who, of course, is a legend, one of the leaders on that team, called it lackluster.
That's the difference that I see. Portugal played to win. And they almost did.
Carly, when you were talking earlier about how the winning doesn't matter as much anymore, I want to make sure I understand what you were saying, because if that's the case right now, and that's not just with this team but with this federation right now, where it's not first and foremost about winning on the field, then that's a massive, massive problem.
It is, and it started to shift post 2020. I think there's just a lot of off the field things that are happening, and you know, you never want to take anything for granted. You put on that jersey and you want to give it everything you have for the people that came before you, for the people that are going to come after you. And I'm just not seeing that passion. I'm just seeing a very lackluster, uninspiring, taking it for granted, where winning and training and doing all that you can to be the best possible individual player is not happening.
So is it about, you know, appearances? Is it about fame? Is it about money? Is it about all the other things that have come to this team for now a number of years, and that getting in the way of what has given them ultimately the platform? I just want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying here.
Well, I think, you know, we saw in the, before the game, the dancing, the, you know, it's there's a difference between confidence and arrogance, and I think that that's a fine line of where is the direction going with that. It's okay to be confident, but you never want to cross that line of being arrogant, and this is exactly what can come and bite you.
That was Carly Lloyd after the draw against Portugal. If that's the problem right now, I mean, that's a huge problem that, you know, you're not focused on winning. Because, I mean, think about how many, you know, world tournaments, whether it's the Olympics or the World Cup, that the players get so fired up for because there's a sense of pride playing for your country. And it sounds from Lloyd's comments, and listen, I'm not following this, you know, to a T, like some people are. But, I mean, Allie in Bellevue is praising us for talking about baseball and now the Women's World Cup. I mean, we try to mix it up and, you know, bring the big stories that are going on. And when I hear comments like that from Carly Lloyd, it's just, it's troubling. I mean, go out. One, they should have the best team, right? Like, they should be the best team in the World Cup.
They should.
But they're not playing like it.
No, I mean, you have to also put into factor there's been a lot of player turnover. A lot of youth,
sure,
that has been put into this side, this U.S. Women's National Team. I do think they haven't really been playing up to par, as everybody's realized. I haven't really been following it as much as you have as well, Chase, but I have realized when you look at the preseason tournaments with this side, along with going into this tournament now, they haven't played up to their high standard where they're putting up 4 to 5 goals a game. Like, the first game they played in the Women's World Cup, they were expected to score 6 to 7 goals. They only won like 3-0, I believe.
I'll say this. I cannot stand when I see teams play down to their competition. It annoys me. And, I mean, we've seen it with the Titans, with the Preds. I mean, it happens. It's part of sports. But, you know, again, not being the expert, but knowing what I know and having watched the World Cup, both men's and women's, before, I feel like the U.S. should be the top team, and they're not playing like it right now. A cool story, one we've obviously been following since last football season, but the Bills put the pads on yesterday, and that included DeMar Hamlin, as he's been going through training camp, and he commented on being back in pads again.
For me, you know, it was tough, you know, just first day in pads, you know, but just trying to keep everything as normal as possible. And, you know, just having my family there today, that was like that joy, that brightness, just to keep everything in perspective that, you know, I'm be okay. It never was about the first moment of contact, because what happened to me, it was such random, and it was any moment, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but that feeling, you know, it'll never go away. First day, last day, when I retire, you know, it'll never go away, you know, but like I said, man, my faith is stronger than that fear that's in there. You know what I mean? And when I hit that field, I'm not thinking twice. You know what I mean? I'm going to go make a tackle just like I would any other day, whatever happened to me. I'm rooted in, you know, the love that I received from my family, my teammates, you know, and the love all around the world. That just it keeps me going. You know what I'm saying? And I got goals that I still want to achieve within this game. What bigger challenge? You know what I mean? It's a challenge. So, you know, I'm embracing it.
That was DeMar Hamlin, and this whole situation with him is just so inspiring. And you know, I obviously you think about him and for his health, like, is this the right play? Obviously there are a lot of experts out there that wouldn't let him touch a football field again if they didn't think it was okay. But you know, the first thing I thought of when Bronny James had his cardiac arrest, or not the first thing, but, you know, obviously the first thing I thought of was, okay, I hope he's okay. That's most important. Basketball second, Bronny's first. And, you know, the reports have been he's doing okay and he's, you know, out of the hospital and everything. And so now that you know he's okay from that standpoint, you kind of start thinking of, well, I mean, DeMar Hamlin's a prime example of somebody that can come back from a situation like that. Can Bronny, you know, because whenever you see a situation like this, you immediately think, well, they'll never play basketball again. And it just kind of shows you where we're at in a, you know, with medical technology and the things we know. But it's inspiring to see Hamlin back out on the field. And, I mean, obviously he's going to be playing. So that's really, really cool. Real quick, to wrap up the pulse, Jim Irsay versus Jonathan Taylor. Everybody has been weighing in on it. Marcus Spears from ESPN. Had some very interesting comments.
You don't say things like this publicly, and you don't put it out there in the atmosphere. Now, Jonathan Taylor got to walk back into an organization with an owner that says, well, it don't matter if you're here or not. We'll be all right. Time will go on. The league will go on. And in his mind, it's like, okay, so what's my incentive for being here in Indianapolis? This is a huge problem. And as a guy in the locker room, if I was a leader and talking to JT, I would literally tell him, do everything you can to get the hell out of here while trying to get myself out of there as well.
I mean, I wonder how much of that's going on. That was Marcus Spears. Because I would imagine there's quite a bit of it. I mean, when the owner is creating that kind of turmoil, it's not good. It's not good at all. Now, I don't think Taylor has necessarily played everything the right way. But, you know, and that's generally the case in situations like this. But I have a feeling this is going to get worse before it gets better when it comes to the Colts and Jonathan Taylor. So that is the pulse today. Coming up next, I heard Mike Vrabel say something yesterday, and it kind of contradicts something I said, but I will tell you why I like it, and I like the tone that he has set. We're up and running here on a Tuesday. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're going to start our NFL previews coming up in the next segment, and I'm excited because we're going to talk to an old friend, Tatum Everett, who was at Fox 17 for a long time, now works for the Minnesota Vikings. So there you go. We're going to start with the team that the Titans are going to be practicing with in a couple of weeks, and figure we talk to Tatum and get a preview of the Vikings as they go into a very strange division that is the NFC North. So looking forward to that. In a few minutes, you can weigh in on anything that we're discussing today. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. So I heard Mike Vrabel yesterday, and speaking of Fox 17, Jill Jelinek, now the sports director, asked this question. And it kind of got my attention because I had made a comment yesterday on the show of like, I like the chippiness, you know, I kind of like the training camp fights, but there's a reason that you're not seeing some of that. This was Mike Vrabel.
that they don't want to get in any scruffs or fights because they'll be sent straight to the sand pit. Is that something you kind of addressed ahead of time, and did you like that battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's lazy. I think it's, that's dumb that hurts the team. You get thrown out of a game, and so you throw a punch in the game, they're going to throw you out of the game. New York's going to review it, and they're going to remove you from the game. So we might as well practice those things now. And try to make it an emphasis that go as hard as you want. Don't throw a punch. Don't be the second guy. They're going to see the second guy retaliate and be a 15-yard penalty. So might as well practice the way we're hopefully going to play.
Practice the way that you're going to play. I like that. And again, I like the tenacity. I like the chippiness. Maybe a little pushing and shoving. That's okay. Intensity. But I think he's right. Don't do dumb bleep that hurts the team. Throwing a punch is going to get you kicked out of the game. Plain and simple. So he set that tone early. He set that tone with the veterans. He set that tone with the rookies, the young guys. And that's the message that he sent. Now, I love that, how Jill asked the question. I love that it's like you'll be sent to the sand pit. If you break the rules, it's like, is this the in Star Wars, the Sarlacc or whatever? Yeah, that Boba Fett gets eaten, and then we find out later he doesn't die. But spoiler alert. But yeah, that's what it feels like. Like Darth Vrabel is like, you will be sentenced to the sand pit of hell or something like that. I don't know. But certainly the message has been sent, and the fact that the players are talking about it, I mean, that right there, I mean, shows that they're listening. But Vrabel's thing has always been the don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team. And that, I think he knows that there have been times that there have been dumb things that have hurt the team that have cost them games or put them in a position that they don't want to be in. And so he has set that tone early to try and fix some of those things. And it seems to be that the players are listening to it. I like it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Here's the problem is that if the Titans do get in a situation this season where they don't have, that discipline, it's going to catch them in between a rock and a hard place. Like, what are you going to do at that point? You're going to have to get in this little limbo of signing small players from the practice squad, bringing them up. So I like the way Vrabel has set the tone at the beginning of the season, as he always does. Like, don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team, because if you do so, you're going to cost the team a big win or two.
Right. Now, Aaron Brewer, he had his portion yesterday where he talked to the media. This I'm okay with, because he brought up that there's been a little trash talk.
We do the job, go back to the huddle. The defense seems to have a little more chatter on their side. You guys ever get tired of hearing from them? And what's the conversation?
No, I love to talk. Like, we just pushing each other. It's a little trash talk. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I enjoy it. I go back and forth with Jeff all day, so.
What about Arden? Has he brought something extra to it as well?
Oh, yeah. Arden, he high energy. Like, he got that juice, all day, every day. That's just Arden. So, yeah, he for sure got that juice. He talk a little trash here and there. He joke around, but he going to go out there and compete every day.
Nothing wrong with a little trash talk. Little talk a little stuff. You know what I mean?
Love the juice.
Love the juice. And so that's knowing where the line is. Throwing a punch is crossing the line. And look, there's probably going to be a training camp fight at some point. I mean, it just happens. But, especially back in the old days, I mean, I remember, he'll get mad at me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. I think B-Hop got him one. I want to say Albert. I mean, like, it used to happen. And it just, you go through the moment, you cool off, you say, hey, man, we good, cool, shake it off. Hug it out, and then you move on. But that's the tenacity of football. But now, I mean, there's such an emphasis on playing the game the right way and all of that you don't want to get thrown out, And so the trash talk is fine. You just got to know where that line is. And especially, with this O-line, I mean, the D-line needs to push the O-line. They need to be talking some trash to the O-line. Because the O-line's got to get used to it. Because right now, nobody believes in this offensive line except for them. And so I want to see them get pushed to the limit during training camp. Because when they get into the real games, That's exactly what the other D-line is going to be coming at him with. And so you get used to it now, and you know, him and Big Jeff Simmons talking trash to each other. Like, that's exactly what needs to happen. So I just feel like the tone is set, and I like what I see right now. And, you know, talking to people that can actually go, you know, the practices have been happening during our show. And, you know, we're not there today, but, like, it going on right now, you know, or about to start, people that are standing there watching it. I've heard the energy is high, and guys like Arden Key that, you know, Aaron Brewer mentioned have brought a different kind of energy, which I think is good. And, I think that's going to take that energy takes you places. So I think that to this point, you got to feel good about that part of it.
I'm sorry. I was going to say something. Right,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, when Jeffrey Simmons was at Mississippi State, they did this thing, like, before every game. He did this, like, chant. It was like, juice me, juice me. Oh, juice me up. Like, he did it every time. And, like, when the Titans drafted him, and I've seen it in a few of, like, the Titans promos on social media, like, they've mentioned him saying, like, juice me a few times. So, like, I would not be surprised if he's brought – I mean, that's what they want. They want him to bring that same energy. Bring the juice. But, like, that competitive energy. I know when I was playing football – there was some smack talk that was taken back and forth. And, like, the fine line was just leave the moms out of it. And then just sure. Everything was just no holds barred at that point. And I love the tone that's set in the Titans training camp. I mean, if I'm out there today, I mean, I won't be. But if I had to put my cleats on and pads on, I feel like I could probably take a few every once in a while.
Well, and Jeffrey Simmons is the king of it. And I love his energy that he brings. So that's a – that's it. That's it right now. And, you know, what I was saying earlier, I think today is an important day because Vrabel talked about that they're giving them kind of a mock game plan today. So see how they respond. See how they respond to, you know, those plays, who's on the same page. That's kind of where you see where, you know, the quiet time, the study time, where that's coming into play. And so I look forward to getting that report coming up today. And with training camp, Caroline Willie and D-Mace will be there after our show. Our training camp coverage is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Cottle Vet Clinic. Coming up next, we start our NFL previews. We're going to go around every day and talk to somebody that covers another team. We're going to start with the NFC North and the Minnesota Vikings. Tatum Everett will join us next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios today. Caroline Willie and D-Mace will be out at training camp here in just a little bit as practice is getting underway for the Titans. But let's talk Minnesota Vikings with our old friend Tatum Everett. Of course, spent a lot of time here at Fox 17. Hello, Tatum. How are you?
Hi, Chase. Doing great. It's camp season, right?
It is camp season, which takes all our time.
All of our time. But you know what? You talk about your show being out at Titans camp this weekend. And one thing I do not miss about Nashville is camp summers and how hot it is. Because at least here, today, I think a high of like 86, but it won't be humid. So it's not too bad.
See, that's the nice thing. You don't have to deal with the humidity. The heat, maybe, but not the humidity. And, yes, you're right. At Titans camp, it could be cloudy all around Nashville, but that sun is shining on the practice field.
No doubt about that. I think the Titans are going to be really excited to be in this weather in a couple of weeks for a few days.
Yeah, so the Titans and the Vikings will have joint practices. So I know you're excited to kind of see some people that you used to work with here in Nashville. But – you work for the team, you cover the team, and this is the Vikings, I think, are kind of the epitome of the NFC North of, at least for me, a division I just can't figure out. You know, you have prognosticators that look at the Vikings and think they're going to take a step back this year. Where are you at with things in the first few days of training camp and watching the Vikings and what they might be able to do?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting take that everyone has that this team is being so discounted, like there's no way they're going to repeat as champions. You've got to be careful with the Lions and the Packers will be good, or we don't even know what the Bears look like. And I think it's just very interesting that happens. But I mean, in this building, they're not really concerned about that, obviously. So we're back to business. I mean, Kevin O'Connell in his second year is going to be a more efficient play caller. He knows what to do, what not to do. They had a lot of goals this offseason and tried to mold their staff around those things that they thought needed improvement while trying to deal with salary cap issues. A lot of highly paid players, and this team looks a lot different, but I think that they feel like they have a lot to prove. And after a 13-win season, you know, it's hard to redo that magic. It really was one of the most spectacular seasons I've ever seen.
And I think the most polarizing player on the Vikings, and maybe one of the most polarizing in the National Football League, is Kirk Cousins. I mean, you read some things like Mike Sando of The Athletic does his quarterback tiers. He has him as a tier two quarterback. And then you talk to some people that just don't think – they kind of put him in the same category as Ryan Tannehill, don't think they can win the big one. But what have you seen out of Kirk Cousins as he goes into this camp?
Well, this is the first time Kirk Cousins has the same offensive coordinator and play caller in six seasons. So I think having a second-year play caller and second-year offensive system is going to be really key for him. I mean, I'm pretty sure most of you guys watch quarterback, and you can just tell how much work he puts into his studies and how he admittedly had a hard time getting the hang of it for a while. But he's a smart guy, and I think that he feels like he has a lot to prove. His time is coming to it's not coming to an end, but, you know, he's at the back half of his career. And if he wants to take it all home, win a Super Bowl, I think he feels like this is the place to do it with this team and this staff. And time is of the essence. So, he actually sat down with the entire team the other day and shared his entire journey and his story. He spoke to them for about 30 minutes. And apparently it was just an absolutely riveting talk. And so when you've got someone that's taking ownership and leadership of the team like that, I think, you know, with all the new faces and the youth on this team, it's good to see someone with his veteran experience stepping up and showing guys how to be pros. So it always confuses me why people like are so polarized by him. But I don't think, like, when he was on quarterback and he genuinely said, like, I don't really pay attention to that, I absolutely believe him.
Talking to Tatum Everett about the Minnesota Vikings, the Titans will be there in a few weeks for joint practices and a preseason game. Now, I guess maybe the biggest story with the Vikings this offseason has been the running back position. Dalvin Cook is gone. And so now, is the plan running back by committee, or do you see one of these backs kind of taking the reins and becoming that go-to guy?
Yeah, I think Alexander Mattison is the go-to guy. I think we're going into camp knowing he will get the first reps. He will be the starter heading into week one. He's proven as much. While there is, there's just not enough experience behind him, I think, to take that starting job away from him. He didn't want to re-sign somewhere he wouldn't have been a starter. So that was really, really important to him this offseason. He's a guy who's extremely explosive in the ways that he moves. Like, he always manages to move forward. He's like a bowling ball. He just keeps going, which is going to be key, because some of the negative feedback for Dalvin was he led the league in negative plays and no gains. And so you want to see everyone moving forward get better positioned with a change, right? So I think Alex Mattison is the guy here for sure. But I think it's really funny you bring this up, because we've got a guy here that Tennessee fans may remember, Ty Chandler. He is a Nashville native, went to NBA, and now he's here in Minnesota. Last season, he was kind of like this, you know how you have those like training camp darlings? He was like this preseason training camp darling who just kind of popped off, and he unfortunately suffered an injury and then was inactive a few games, was on the practice squad, but he's been in the building, and I think the staff talks so highly of him. Everyone jokes about how Kevin O'Connell just loves Ty Chandler and really can't wait to see what he can do with him now that he's healthy and he has a season under his belt. So I think a guy to watch is someone you may see a lot more out of. I'm not saying draft him in your fantasy, but for your fantasy team. But Ty Chandler is definitely someone I would keep my eye on.
Yeah, you read my mind because I, you know, you probably remember this doing high school football. Friday was tie day at NBA, and then obviously went to Tennessee and later North Carolina. But I was going to ask you about him, and I'm glad to hear that report because he's somebody I always liked, whether it was at NBA or then his time at Tennessee and then North Carolina. So I'm glad to hear he's doing well.
Yeah, I think he's going to really fill a void that Dalvin Cook leaves when it comes to pass catching. He's the only back in that room that really has any of that, has a lot of experience as a pass catching back. And yes, it came in college for him, but I really think that's going to be somewhere that they're going to try. You know, it's all about the air raid offense and this offense being with the West Coast style. Kevin O'Connell loves to pass people, like, let's be honest. And so I think he's going to be looking to get Ty Chandler out in space.
Tatum Everett is with us. How much did TJ Hockenson add to the offense when he was acquired last year? And what steps do you see him taking forward this year in the offense?
Yeah, it's funny you mention him because I feel like no one really talks about TJ as much as they should and how much credit TJ gets for coming in right after he was traded. And then in the next game he led the team in catches like 9. I mean, he just walked in there seamlessly. He's such a great presence. Him and Kirk have this innate relationship where they just understand each other, and Kirk fully trusts him. And, I mean, he's a big dude. He has a big presence on the field. He has a big personality. I think that tight end room is a really interesting one to watch because TJ, great weapon. But then they added Josh Oliver from the Ravens this offseason, and because the Vikings were like 27th in total yards and rushing last season, they really wanted to shore up the run game, and they added Josh Oliver, who's literally the best run-blocking tight end in the league. And now with his presence, and then we also have a third tight end, Johnny Munt, who caught his first touchdown last year in the NFL, that room is a lot more sneakily stacked with talent than people give it credit for.
The wide receiver room obviously is led by Justin Jefferson. Madden gave him the 99 rating for this year. We know what he can do.
Hopefully so, Chase, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he's special. And, you know, for those of us that like to participate in fantasy football or maybe touchdown parlays, you know, Jefferson is always a part of that. But everybody in the NFL knows that too. So what does the rest of the receiver room look like, also with the addition of Jordan Addison out of USC?
Such a great question because everyone is going to be keying on Justin. And one of the things that this staff really wanted to make a point to fix is to get distractions out there so that teams don't just put all of their talent on JJ. All of their, you know, he's not double teamed or in bracket coverage the entire time. So with Adam Thielen gone, it does leave a void, but I think that this is the time for KJ Osborne to really step up and shine. He, this offseason, you know, the Vikings drafted, as you mentioned, Jordan Addison in the first round. And despite it being a receiver in the first round, KJ didn't get down, he didn't get out. He just went back to work, and he worked really hard. He came back bigger, stronger, faster. He understands his offense. He's an emotional leader for this team. And I do think that Jordan Addison, albeit we've only seen one day of pads and we've seen him sparingly because he did not participate in minicamp. He was struggling with an injury, and so now he's fully 100%. And the guy's shifty. He has great hands. He gets off the line. It looks like JJ. I'm not making any comparisons there. I always have to preface like I'm not making any comparisons, but his shiftiness and his ability to be aware of his positioning. So he's been and man coverage all camp, and he's making toe-touching touchdowns, and he knows where he is in his body, and he's reliant. He catches the ball literally every time you throw it to him. So I'm really excited to see how this shakes out because those three are great, but there's also a few more waiting in the wings, like Brandon Powell, who came over from the Rams. He's kind of like a small slot guy who's super fast and can jump really high, which I didn't know until like practice yesterday when I saw him like literally in the air. And Tristan Jackson, someone that this staff really likes. So there's a lot of options there, and you know that they like to set it up with like a three receiver set. So I wouldn't be at all shocked to see a lot of action from that room.
Well, certainly going to be interesting, and we will find out a little bit more about the Vikings here in a few weeks when the Titans are there practicing with them. Tatum, it's great to talk to you, my old friend. We miss you here in Nashville, but I know you're thriving in Minnesota, but everybody will see you here in a few weeks.
I cannot wait. Thank you so much for having me, Chase, and thinking about me. I am so proud and just want to say congratulations to you on everything that you've been doing as far as the promotion and the new show and the podcast. I mean, you're basically like the hardest working man in Nashville sports. So I just congratulations and then thank you. And I hope to talk soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And next time you're in Nashville, Ricky says he's buying. So we'll have to do some Nashville nights. Thanks, Tatum.
All right. See ya.
Tatum Everett with the Minnesota Vikings, and appreciate her coming on, and obviously was in Nashville for several years at Fox 17 and now doing big things with Minnesota. I mentioned Mike Sando's quarterback tiers during that and where Kirk Cousins was, but where is Ryan Tannehill? I'm a little surprised. We'll discuss this next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
When you go through it as many times as you have, it's probably old hat, but how much of a challenge is it with a new offense and with Tim Kelly's brought in and with a completely overhauled offensive line to work behind?
Training camp's tough, but training camp is a crucial time of the year to come out and grow as a player and to grow as a team. You know, individually we have to all focus on different things, like I said, that we want to get better at. Then we have to grow as a team. You know, we have to start building that trust, that chemistry, you know, within the offensive line. You know, those guys trusting each other on the combo blocks, in the pass protection. Quarterbacks trusting the offensive line in the pocket. Quarterbacks trusting receivers. Receivers trusting the quarterback that the ball is going to be in the right spot. So it all works together, and it all takes time and repetition to do that. So the fact that we have time is great, but we have to take advantage of the time we have.
That was Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, 615-737-1025. Quarterback tiers. Mike Sando, he's done this for years, back to his time at ESPN, now with The Athletic. And you know that he polls different executives, coaches, people within football. So it's not him putting it together. 50 league insiders, 8 general managers, 10 head coaches, 15 coordinators, 10 executives, 4 quarterback coaches, and 3 involved in coaching and analytics. That's how he came up with the tiers this year. And just to go ahead and give it away, and then I'll get to some others. Ryan Tannehill is the 22nd overall quarterback and is in tier 3. Is that where you believe he should be? He got 1 tier 2 vote, 42 tier 3s, 5 tier 4s, 2 tier 5s. I mean, dang. Some quotes from him. Well, this said, the Titans' talent drain on offense left Tannehill in a difficult situation last season. He did not plummet in quarterback tiers voting, but he did sink deeper within tier 3. So he was tier 3 last year. I think the year before he was tier 2. Quote, would you rather play with him or against him? An exec said, to be honest, he is probably someone I'd rather play against. Those interceptions in the Bengals game could have been the beginning of the end for him. Nobody's going to let that go because he hasn't done anything to make up for it, and that's why he's in the position that he's in. I don't necessarily agree that he's the 22nd, you know, should be the 22nd quarterback in these rankings and be in tier 3. And by the way, the definition of tier 3, a tier 3 quarterback is a legitimate starter but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume drop back passing offense suits him best. Now, if we are being honest, you know, I've always said you got to have the right pieces around him. I mean, that's kind of what that describes. And the other quarterbacks in Tier 3 are Kyler Murray, interesting, Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, Tua, Jimmy G, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, I don't know about that, Justin Fields, and then Mac Jones is just behind him. So, I mean, that's the kind of the category they're in. Now, I mentioned Kirk Cousins. He's the last quarterback in Tier 2 at 12. Obviously, Tier 1 should be no surprise. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Rodgers, Herbert. That's Tier 1. I have You got any issues with that, Nick? I have no issues with that.
No, tier one is solidified.
Jalen Hurts is at the top of tier two. Jalen, if Jalen does what he did last year, Jalen's going to be in tier one next year. But I think I agree with tier two. A tier two quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not consistently. Not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game, whereas tier one, a tier one quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations. He has no real holes in his game. I think Jalen Hurts is right where he needs to be. Sixth best quarterback. Then it's Lamar, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford. I don't know if I'd have him 10th at this point. Now, these are experts, but I don't know about that. Then Deshaun Watson, then Kirk Cousins. But do we agree in Tannehill being the 22nd overall quarterback and being deep in Tier 3? Tron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace yesterday and gave his thoughts.
Ryan Tannehill was put in as a third-tier quarterback, the 22nd-ranked quarterback on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Tannehill's being disrespected or maybe underestimated in that list?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you look at quarterbacks, you want a quarterback that has a big arm. Tannehill has a big arm. He throws the ball down the field as well as pretty much he could do it. He could do it with the best of them. Mm-hmm. The mobility that he has, so underrated. I mean, how many times he was a big reason why the red zone offense was so good in 22 last year, you know. Yeah, that was last year. But I think he is definitely underrated. He's a guy that you're in the building with him. Like you talk to outside of Mike Wallace, anybody you talk to that has been on the team with Tannehill always has great things to say about him.
That was Teron Davenport yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. Yeah, I think it's because of that game. Nobody is going to forgive him for that until he does something to make up for it. Whether that's right or wrong, that's just the way it is. And, you know, there are Titans fans that, like, three interceptions one game, number one seed, lose to the Bengals. I mean, Bengals end up going all the way to the Super Bowl that year, but nobody's going to forgive him for that performance until he does something to make up for it. And where I will agree, you know, outside of the run to the AFC Championship game, which he didn't really do a whole lot during that run. It was Derrick Henry. Now, he made, you know, I remember in Baltimore, he made that big pass to Khalif Raymond. He made the pass to Jonnu Smith that Jonnu caught on his butt in the end zone. So, I mean, he did, you know, he was obviously a part of it, but he was throwing under 200 yards in that. He's got to have the big game, and it has to be in the playoffs. Like, if they make the playoffs this year and he balls out in a game and he throws three touchdown passes for, like, 300 yards and they win because of him, then the narrative probably changes. And depending on how far they go, but that's the problem. It's the great regular season quarterback, but hasn't performed in the playoffs. Now, Texter makes an interesting point. Wes in Clarksville. Herbert and Josh Allen choke in the playoffs, and they have them as tier one QBs, but since Tannehill did it, he's a tier three quarterback, ? I mean, it's fair. It's a fair question to ask. But, you know, I think Herbert and Josh Allen, I would put, obviously, above Ryan Tannehill, even in the regular season, with their stats. I mean, you know, Allen, I think Allen's a little overrated. I think Allen's good, but I think he doesn't take care of the football.
I would say ball security is his number one downfall.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, Herbert is, like I said this last week when he got the contract, Herbert, I think, is doing everything he's supposed to do. It's the team and the coach that kind of hurt him. And I think right now people are giving him the benefit of the doubt because of that. So that's where it is. 22nd, Ryan Tannehill. Can that change? Tier four, by the way, this is kind of interesting. Brock Purdy, Kenny Pickett, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder, Gardner Minshew. That is tier four. There was no tier five this year. But Minshew Mania, the 30th quarterback. Obviously, they don't put rookies in there. So Mike Sando's tiers. Coming up next, speaking of quarterbacks and a rookie quarterback at that, evaluating Will Levis to this point in training camp. We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.